All right. Well, good morning, men. It's nice to see you all again. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 12, that's where we're going to start reading today. And I'll open us up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity and this time to share with these men. I pray that you would bless this time, Lord. Take away anything that's not of me, and just speak to them whatever is of you, Lord. I pray that they would meditate on the things that are of you, Lord, and again, forget anything that's of me, Lord, and that's not what you want to say to these men today, Lord. In Jesus' holy precious name I pray, amen. All right, so we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 12. Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, Paul begins chapter 12 by saying, "I beseech or I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Now, what Paul's saying here, he's saying, I urge you guys need to get this. Because of the mercy of God, we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or logical service. This is the only response to the mercy that God's shown to us. Now, sacrifice is something that I think we think of as a one-off thing. Could be, you know, sacrifice could be a tithe, or it could be, in the Old Testament, it was the sacrifice of an animal. But this concept of a living sacrifice is different. A living sacrifice is a daily death to ourselves in order to serve the Lord. And it's important that we understand this, that it's not, you know, it's not a one-time thing. A living sacrifice is daily death unto ourselves in order to glorify the Lord. Now verse 2, Paul continues saying, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now at first glance, this doesn't exactly seem like it ties in with the first part, but if you dig a little deeper, it definitely does. Paul talks about the renewal, or being transformed by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind is necessary in order to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. If our mind is still focused on inward things and selfishly not renewed and focused on ourselves, we can be prideful. And if we're prideful, we can't be a living sacrifice, because pride causes us to focus on ourselves and not on the Lord and what he has for us. Now, continue in verse 3. Paul says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself as more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." So again, God gives us these gifts, but if we're focused on ourselves, we're naturally going to be prideful. And these gifts, if used incorrectly, can very easily be used to glorify ourselves instead of glorifying him. And that's not the purpose of our gifts. It's not why God gives them to us. These gifts are meant for his glorification. Now, this, without the renewal of our mind and with a prideful focus on ourselves in our lives, we can't serve adequately. Service requires selflessness. Now, again, we're all given spiritual gifts as Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7 say, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So, as Christians, we're all given these spiritual gifts. Now, God's gracious enough to give these gifts to us, but it's up to us to use them for His glory. Now, as Christians, when we ask God or Jesus into our lives, we ask Him to be our Lord and Savior. And if we ask Him to be that, we tend to focus on the Savior portion of that. You know, God's our Savior. He's going to save us from eternal condemnation through His mercy. But I want to focus on the Lord part of that statement. The other half of it is we ask Him to be our Lord and Savior. Now, when we ask Jesus to be our Lord, we're declaring Him to be our Master. Lord, by definition, means Master. And if He's our Master, then by default, we're His servants. Servants are supposed to glorify their Master. So, as Christians, when we declare Jesus to be our Lord, we are, saying that we are His servants. And as servants, we need to serve and glorify our Master. Now, service, this is something that I heard at a Bible study a little while back, and it stuck with me. I thought it was really cool. Service with the intention of glorifying ourselves is not service. When we serve with an inward focus and focus on us and not the things of God, and we're focused on the glory of ourselves and not glorifying God, that's not true service. When we are serving with the intention of, benefiting ourselves, that's not service. That's just inward prideful motivation, and that's not what we're called to do as Christians. Service is humbling and requires humility. Service could be, teaching a Sunday service, or it could be, being in the bathroom after service scrubbing toilets. In either scenario, the Lord will humble you through that, and we can't be accurately serving without humility. We can't be, as effective in our ministry or our service without humility. God doesn't want our service if it's self-glorifying and it's not, putting the focus on Him. We could do things that may be good things, but the intention or the purpose of service is to glorify the Lord. And if we're serving in anything, it could be teaching on a Sunday, or it could be, cleaning up puke after church. But if we're, not serving with a humble heart, He doesn't want that. And our service ultimately should put all the focus on God and not on ourselves. It should be glorifying to Him through our actions. Matthew 6, verses 3 through 4, Jesus says, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will Himself reward you openly." Our service is not supposed to be an outward display of our own righteousness, or self-perceived righteousness, rather. But ultimately, our service is supposed to be done quietly. We're not supposed to make a big show of what we're doing. And my warning to you all would be, don't let pride get in the way of your service. If, pride and service don't glorify God, that's not a good mix. You can't be prideful in your service and glorify God at the same time. You just can't do it. You have to be humble and serve the Lord with all humility and thus glorify Him through that. Now, I want to dig into a little bit having to do with deacons and elders. Those are both important roles in the church, and it ties in very, very nicely with kind of the focus of the study. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of a bishop or an elder, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So, Paul, in talking about elders, you know, he says, I want to focus on what he says in verse 6. An elder is not to be a novice or a new convert, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. C.S. Lewis wrote something I thought was interesting. He says, pride is how the devil became the devil. And it's true. Pride is what caused the devil to think he was better than God, and it ultimately caused his downfall and caused him to become who he is. Now, it's important that a new Christian is not appointed to this role because, you know, to anyone who is new at anything, not necessarily fully understanding of it, you know, we've got a grasp on it, we're saved, but it's very easy to look at this concept of service and glorify ourselves in that, or be prideful in that, when in reality they may not understand what service is about, and that service is to glorify the Lord. So Paul gives us a warning not to let new Christians be elders, because it's very easy to be puffed up in pride with that authority and the service that comes along with that. Now, in verse 8, Paul continues saying, talking about deacons now, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Will these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, one important correlation between both the qualification of a deacon and an elder is service. They are both servants. Paul talks about deacon service very clearly in verse 10. He says, but let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Deacons are servants. And elders, it's a little more hidden, but he does talk about it. Verse 2, he says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. These two things are both acts of service. Being hospitable or welcoming to others, inviting them into your home, making them feel comfortable, sharing the word with them is an act of service. And being able to teach is also an act of service. You know, sharing what the Holy Spirit has put on your heart with, you know, to his people or to unbelievers is an act of service. You know, God is using you to say what he wants to say to these people. That is also an act of service. So both deacons and elders are servants. Now, a little, I guess, word of caution to both deacons and elders. Don't let pride puff you up in your positions. You know, God has appointed you to these positions for a reason. But we're not to be prideful in those. You know, serve humbly and put all the glory on God. Now, on the flip side, for those who are not deacons or elders, don't let pride puff you up in thinking that, you know, I deserve to be in this position. Or on the other flip side, you know, don't think that somebody else does not deserve a position or that you deserve it more than them or instead of them. Now, it's not wrong to desire these positions. Paul says in verse 1, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. You know, it's not wrong to desire, you know, think about, you know, becoming these things, but if that's our main focus and is just for a title or for self-glorification, it's not, you know, it's not what it's about. Now, you know, as deacons and elders, there's some amount of attention placed on you or an expectation placed on you. Whether that's accurate or not is, you know, it varies. But, you know, that focus on you can be can be good, or it can, you know, make you prideful. People are looking to you as an authority in the church, and it's easy to get prideful in that. Now, that's not to say that, you know, you can't be prideful without being in those positions. You know, you can be serving and still think you're awesome, still think, man, I'm the best Christian. I'm, you know, cleaning up this trash after church, and, you know, nobody's looking. I'm so awesome. You know, we can easily fall into that trap whether we're in a position of authority or not. Regardless of your position or title, serving is a gift from God. You know, God doesn't need us to do anything, but he desires to use us. I was reminded this past 4th of July of our, like, incredible significance compared to the vast expanse of our universe. You know, you could look up into the stars in the sky, and you probably couldn't even count how many were visible at that time. If we really think about it, you know, our planet fits 7 billion people pretty comfortably, and our planet is one of 8 or 9 if you're one of those people. In our solar system, and our solar system is one of many in our galaxy. Our galaxy is one of many in our universe, and who knows how many universes are out there. And yet God fits all of this into the palm of his hand, and yet he still chooses to use us. The fact that God chooses us and that he allows us to serve him should be all the motivation that we need to serve him. He doesn't need us. No, he chooses us and chooses to use us. He gives us these gifts to serve him, and we're to use them for his glory. Matthew 25 talks about parable of the talents, and he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. So regardless of what your gift is, this is not saying that some gifts are less valuable than others. They all have their place, or they're all members of the body of Christ. But don't think that, you know, your gift is insignificant. Use what you are given as a gift and use that to glorify him. That's the purpose behind giving Christians gifts. We're to use them to glorify him. And we're supposed to be faithful in using those to further his kingdom. Now, as Christians, we're to find out what our gifts are. And if you know what your gifts are, use them for his glory. He doesn't give us these gifts to glorify ourselves or for them to be, you know, lie dormant and not be used. He gives us these gifts to serve him, and that's, you know, that's what we're to do with them. So I encourage you all to figure out what your gifts are through prayer and, you know, reading his word, fellowship with other Christians, and seek the Lord's will for your life and what he has for you and what he's given you. And once you figure out what those gifts are, use them for his glory. And regardless of what your gifts are, serve him in it, and serve humbly. Don't let pride get in the way. Let your mind be renewed, and don't let any focus be on yourselves in your service, or any glory be put on yourselves. Service is meant to glorify God, and if we're not doing that, we need a renewal of our mind and a heart check. And ultimately, that's the point of service, is to glorify him. So that's my encouragement to all of you. You know, check your heart, make sure that your service is not at all self-glorifying, and that it's all meant to glorify the Lord. I'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time to share with these men. I pray that you would, again, take out anything that's not of me and let them meditate on everything that was of you, Lord. I pray that we would focus on you, Lord, help you to be the focus of our service. Let us not glorify ourselves in anything that we do, but glorify you. And I pray that you would just help you to be the focus of our lives, of our service, and help us to live our lives as a living sacrifice and daily die to ourselves, Lord, to serve you. And I pray that you would just bless the lives of all these men, Lord, and anybody hearing this. And I pray that we would all live our lives as a living sacrifice and serve you humbly, Lord. Jesus' holy, precious name I pray. Amen.